This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, or should I begin, rather, by saying another opportunity to offer greetings and thanksgiving to these Potomac River life sources. What is that? That's from a land acknowledgement at George Mason University in Virginia. It is actually become a huge pattern all across North America, Canada too, to begin any kind of formal occasion, classes, convocations, conferences, with a land acknowledgement that at one time or another there were various Native tribes, some of which are very obscure, by the way, that occupied part of the land in which universities and other institutions function. There was a devastating commentary on this practice and why it's dangerous for the country, actually, and certainly destructive for our culture, by Eugene Kantorovich, who is a professor at the George Mason University Law School, that is the Scalia Law School, where he has been the director of the Law School Center for Middle East and International Law. He's over in Israel right now, so he can also help us understand the latest development with a new prime minister of Israel immediately. And it is Yair Lapid, the foreign minister, who's moving over to that job as they get ready for their fifth election, really fifth national election in 3.5 years. Professor Kantorovich, I take it that Jerusalem is a little bit abuzz about the latest.
Yeah, but it's not surprising. The government that has been in power for the past year, it's a coalition of various parties, and they had absolutely nothing in common, except including several people, all of whom wanted to be prime minister instead of Benjamin Netanyahu. That was the only thing that tied them together, and they were unable to agree on pretty much anything. It ranged from a right-wing party to a Muslim Brotherhood party, and the collapse was entirely predictable.
Okay, we will get back to that. First of all, what I was reading before was apparently you say your own university, George Mason University, begins by giving greetings and thanksgiving to these Potomac River life sources. What are they referring to in that formulation?
So Jordan Mason is in Arlington, Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C., on the Potomac River. And one of the things that all of these land acknowledgments have in common is that they're not just a historical note. They have these echoes of quasi-pagan land worship. I think they're trying to imitate what they understand to be Native American religion. I think typically not very accurately. And there's this kind of Mother Earth land worship, which is particularly shocking at a modern university, which is quite secular, which would never consider starting with a moment of silence for prayer that might be Christian or Jewish. But woke rituals, are basically religious acts in themselves, and it really comes out in these land acknowledgments, which are often have sort of elements of pagan prayer.
Now, you teach classes at George Mason. Are you expected to begin either a semester or an individual class session with a land acknowledgement?
Yeah, so at my university, the land acknowledgement has been quite unobtrusive so far, and we're not expected to use it, though it would typically be used in graduation or end of the year ceremony, but these things start as being optional, and then they slowly become less optional. So at some universities they're completely optional, but some universities now are already strongly recommending that professors use them. which for professors is basically like saying you have to do it if you want to get tenure or remain in good graces. And some universities now are making it openly mandatory. And it's not just to open up any and every ceremony. Universities are urging professors to put this in their email signature. So every email ends with, we are on the land of, these 10 tribes, and we are settlers in occupied territory on stolen land. So it's basically the new pronouns, right? So you have your signature, you have your pronouns, and then you have your whole land acknowledgement, a complicated ritual of the new woke religion.
And this all comes, of course, they only do these land acknowledgements after the Pledge of Allegiance, right?
Yes, if only. So as I point out in the article, you can see the role of the land acknowledgements. It's exactly as the Pledge of Allegiance has become, supposedly controversial and is coming under attack, that the land acknowledgements are ascendant, and basically we are replacing the ritual of national thanks and national solidarity, a short ritual in the case of the Pledge of Allegiance, for a ritual of self-hatred and collective guilt. And, of course, no one ever had to put a Pledge of Allegiance in their email signature. So, like most woke rituals, it's far less liberal than the things it replaces, and far more coercive. I don't think if at a college graduation someone were to, so to speak, take the knee during the land acknowledgement, it would be received as a heroic act of protest. It would probably be seen as racist and despicable.
Now, part of what I understand is in when they put forward a syllabus, when you're describing what you're going to teach in your class, pretty much regardless of what you teach in your class, you're expected to put in something about a history of colonialism and exploitation and stolen land?
Yeah, so universities, again, they differ in what they make you do of this, but some universities urge professors and basically push professors to have this in everything they do, including at the beginning of the syllabuses, at the end of their signatures, basically everywhere. And, the ubiquity of this, it can only be seen as a form of indoctrination. I think in the Cultural Revolution in China, they didn't have to recite their Red Book slogans as frequently. So it's clearly a form of programming to just saturate the landscape. Imagine students who come up and are exposed to this. All they're going to hear and all they're going to know is guilt and this notion of theft, where, of course, those of us around today have not stolen anything from anyone. And the kind of, I would say, totemic.
Pardon the expression. Totemic, that is, you're talking about totems?
Yeah, no. Yes, exactly. That is a fetishization, making a kind of ritual object out of Native American Indians, rather than treating them as real people who migrated from place to place, who had wars with each other, who had mixed environmental practices. It's a ritualization of this.
Your piece is terrific, and we're linking to it up at our website at michaelmedved.com. And it goes back to something, I think it was G.K. Chesterton who said it, as he said, the problem with atheism is not that you end up believing in nothing, it's that you end up believing in everything. And I think about these land acknowledgments where I went to school at Yale. They had mandatory chapel up until the beginning of the 20th century, mandatory, and people began the day in prayer. And of course, that was a normal thing in public schools and elsewhere. And now you have this tendency of beginning the day in honor of the crimes that have been allegedly committed against Native American populations. We'll talk about that further and more about what happens next in this complicated Israeli situation with a new prime minister today and a new election coming up apparently in October, before ours. Coming up on the MedVed Show.
Michael Medved.
I listen to you every single day.
Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. teamg'day.com. teamg'day.com.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You've even seen it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. And here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Edward Elgar's Pomp and Circumstance, of course known around the world, really, as the Graduation March. Speaking to Professor Eugene Kantorovich of George Mason University Law School, and he has written a powerful piece which has already produced some very powerful responses. A piece in the Wall Street Journal, which is linked at our website at michaelmedved.com. Just to have a flavor of what we're talking about, Last couple of days, they just had a graduation ceremony at Edmonds Community College. And here was an example of their presentation of the land acknowledgement that preceded the rest of the graduation festivities. Listen.
To open the ceremony by acknowledging the land, Edmonds College sits upon the traditional territory of the Stahoche, meaning the lowland people, the Snohomish people, who are its original caretakers. For Indigenous peoples, our identities and our beings are shaped by the lands that we hail from. We honor the lands that give us life and sustain us. In acknowledging the land, we acknowledge the connections we have. We honor the connections we have to our family, our friends, our elders, our ancestors, and our colleagues. These connections guide us, they sustain us, and they compose who we are as human beings. In acknowledging the land, we do not only observe history supposedly past, we hearken to the people who still live here. We are called to honor and to build these essential relationships.
Okay. Professor Kontorovich, this is pretty much par for the course, right? That's would be a typical land acknowledgement.
That's a very mild one. That doesn't say anything about being on occupied territories, being on stolen land, as many of them say, being guilty of dispossession, and it doesn't make the fairly absurd claim that these tribes have been there since time immemorial, as opposed to having migrated there in definite periods in history. So that's a long-winded but relatively innocuous compared to some of these other ones.
Jeremy Steiner, my producer, attended another graduation in Edmonds, where at the Edmonds Woodway High School, where they did mention the stolen land and the crimes against Native Americans. And what's interesting is they mention completely different tribes. Now, how is this? If the tribes have really been there, and you raise this point in your column, if the tribes had really been there for time immemorial, how could it be that that these two different colleges in the same piece of land would mention completely different tribes? How could that happen?
Right. It's hard to understand how one building could be on land belonging to 10 different tribes, but it's important to understand when these acknowledgments say that we are on the land of these people, they mean it in a way that would in any other context be considered racist. They don't mean that there were actual encampments or villages of these tribes in the particular place where the university is located. It means they were in that general area. Loosely,
Are you there? I think we just dropped off. The other point, just to complete his thought, he makes the point, look, the warfare between the native tribes was bloody, and all this there from time immemorial. First of all, they've gone back and looked and looked and looked, and I think the very earliest evidence they have of human habitation in North America. Okay, I'm glad we reconnected. I was just making the point, as you do, Professor Kontorovich, that these Indian tribes fought among themselves and didn't always stay in the same land or even in the same area. And, for instance, there were subsequent tribes that had conquered other tribes and actually basically liquidated them or absorbed them.
Sure.
So this idea of thousands of years of ownership is bogus, right?
There's nothing critical about the native tribe. Around the world, the people who are in the kingdom now conquered other people. So,
yeah, I think we're having a tough time with the connection right now, which is a shame. Can you try speaking again?
Yes. So the Indian population, they behave like people around the world. They fought, they conquered each other. And, you know, the claim of ownership that's made in these land acknowledgments is basically saying just because they lived, you know, in a particular region, every acre in that region somehow belongs to them. And that's a fundamentally, you know, racial proposition. The notion that, you know, by living in an area, an ethnic group or a people, you know, has full ownership in a private property sense of every piece of land in that area. If one was to say that about, you know, other populations in America, you know, America belongs to a particular ethnic group, that would be, you know, considered terribly, terribly racist. And they're basically conflating, you know, presence in an area with this notion of, you know, racial exclusive property or ethnic exclusive property. And interestingly, now that they're saying that, you know, all of Americans are settlers on occupied territory, it's interesting where this idea first emerged. Because, you know, people say that, you know, Israel is the canary in the coal mine for Western culture. The threats and attacks on Western society, Western culture, you know, first come, typically are directed in Israel, the little Satan, before the great Satan of the United States. And we see that this is exactly the same attack and criticism that has been made of Israel, where Israel is on Palestinian land. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that Palestinians owned every inch of land in Israel. As a matter of fact, very, very small parts of Israel have been historically owned privately by Palestinians. It means the fact that there was previously a Palestinian population, there was also a Jewish population. The fact that there was Palestinians living here means the entire country belongs to them to the exclusion of anybody else. So that idea now has basically is being applied to all of America.
Well, again, in just the few moments we have left to us, for a lot of Americans, they are fascinated by the figure of Benjamin Netanyahu. Do you expect he will be leading his Likud party in this upcoming new election that has just been called? Do you believe his return is likely?
I think it's quite likely. The most people in the last election voted for a right-wing government led by Benjamin Netanyahu. The problem is Netanyahu's been a victim of his own success. Because he was prime minister for 12 years, so many other politicians basically think it's their time.
Well, and we will find out. Professor Eugene Kantorovich, enjoy your time. It's late at night in Israel. And we will be right back.
You're listening to the Mighty Michael Medved Show. 1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Flight cancellations and delays have been creating headaches for holiday weekend travelers. The flight tracking website FlightAware showing over 2,500 flights canceled nationwide Sunday. Most of the problems were blamed on bad weather and a pilot shortage in the United States. The TSA saying Friday was the busiest air travel day of 2022, and that TSA officers screened nearly 2.5 million people at security checkpoints. This man shares with MSNBC his not-so-fun experience at the airport.
I get here, to the airport just for our flight to be delayed, delayed, delayed. And about 11:30 last night, the flight was canceled.
Speaking to reporters near his beach home in Delaware, President Biden says he soon will make a decision on forgiving student debt. USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
On the Michael Medved show, there is a great deal of discussion about how to celebrate this federal holiday we're all experiencing today, the holiday known as Juneteenth. That's the 19th of June. And there have been many attempts to try to address the fact that most Americans it was the George Floyd reckoning and the impact of the national reaction, the national revulsion and indignation about the killing of George Floyd that led many people to rediscover Juneteenth and to celebrate it. But not everyone would go quite as far as Sarah Haynes on The View, who said that Juneteenth, the actual June 19th, was yesterday, today is the federal holiday, who said this about the importance of the holiday. Listen, this is clip 10.
It's really thinking about why we think are we stopping today, and the kids have given me a new excuse to look at the why. Like, why do I celebrate? Why do we celebrate this? And I think I have, ever since I learned about Juneteenth, which wasn't as young as you probably did or anyone else, I learned a few years ago, and I was like, how did I not know about this, that we were celebrating 4th of July, which was freedom of America, when freedom of American people didn't happen until Juneteenth? So in some ways, the celebration feels more authentic on Juneteenth.
Yeah.
It's really, but I do feel really silly at times that I didn't know that, you know, I was talking with Rebecca, who does my makeup. She's like, oh, you know, we always talked about it, and my parents would tell us, and I was like, how was I living in this country not knowing that?
Isn't it awful that in order to lift up this holiday, which I think is an appropriate thing, and it's a beautiful thing, and it's a helpful thing, and it's a patriotic thing, it's all good, but in order to do that, you have to run down the 4th of July? That was not about the freedom of America. No one has claimed that we are in fact basically claiming that the 4th of July is a celebration of freedom. It's a celebration of independence. It's the birthday of our country. It's the beginning of our country. And the fact is that there is Axios is reporting that Americans are now more familiar with Juneteenth than they were a year ago when President Biden signed into law a bill to make it a federal holiday, according to a new Gallup poll. The big picture, approximately 6 in 10 Americans say they know a lot or some about Juneteenth, compared to less than 4 in 10 in May of 2021. Don't forget, Juneteenth takes place on June 19th and commemorates the date in 1865 when slaves in Texas found out about their freedom after Confederate General Robert E. Lee's surrender in the Civil War. And given the importance and the sacrifice and the changes in the Constitution and the profound changes in this country that were involved with the abolition of slavery, and the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments were all addressed to try to make clear that we were no longer going to have a society that was based on color. That doesn't mean that it all changed overnight, but it is very peculiar. The question that a lot of people would ask is, what about the Emancipation Proclamation? The Emancipation Proclamation was originally written down by Lincoln in September of 1862. And Juneteenth didn't occur till June of 1865. So you're talking about a 3-year span. And what about in the middle of that span was the Emancipation Proclamation? The question about why we celebrate the end of slavery while we're celebrating the liberation of 4 million enslaved people of color in this country, that we celebrated on Juneteenth and not on the January 1st, 1863, which was when the Emancipation Proclamation was issued. It's very simple. Because the Emancipation Proclamation was a realistic war measure, which basically said that for those 11 states that were in rebellion against the United States, that had rejected the authority of the United States, slavery was abolished. And part of the reason that they did that, but the 4 states that were still in the Union that still had slavery, the slavery was not interfered with by the Emancipation Proclamation. In other words, Delaware, Maryland, Missouri, and Kentucky were all part of the Union, but they maintained slavery until the 13th Amendment, till the end of the war, really, even though it began to decline and slaves basically ran away. Now, part of the reason that Lincoln did it that way was to justify it constitutionally as a war measure. And the war measure it was, because there were an unbelievable number, 180,000 former slaves, one-time slaves, who left bondage before the end of the war and fought with tremendous heroism in the Union Army. That's why one of the most appropriate films to see, if you want to give some dimension to your experience of Juneteenth, is the great film Glory, directed by Ed Zwick. It won an Oscar for Denzel Washington. Included Morgan Freeman and Matthew Broderick playing a heroic abolitionist Union officer who took command of these Massachusetts volunteers who did this incredibly courageous and heroic and much celebrated attack on Fort Monroe during the war. But the point about all of this is that the Juneteenth is not the beginning of the liberation of people of color. it marked the end. That was the last group of slaves who hadn't gotten the news yet that until June 19th, that number one, the war was over, and the result of the war being over, which was actually over in April, that the war was over and the South had surrendered and they were liberated. And there's a pretty nice piece, and it's one of those few pieces that I think people in the center and people even on the right can appreciate, from Charles Blow, who is a black columnist for the New York Times, very much a person of the left. But he says, Juneteenth has been part of my family tradition for as long as anyone can remember. It marks the day in 1865, June 19th, when some of the last enslaved people in the United States, in Texas, learned that they had been freed, roughly 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was issued. My mother recalls going to large Juneteenth celebrations as a child in the 1950s. As the author Joyce King wrote in the Dallas Morning News in 2017, some black people had come to associate the holiday with stigma. Some blacks loathed Juneteenth. To them, it meant celebrating the fact that even the news of freedom was late. Juneteenth was made a federal holiday, and I must say that it evoked in me a sense of pride that a day about black history would be honored, but also trepidation that the day would lose some of its cultural potency and succumb to commercialization. We haven't seen Juneteenth sales, really, but that's got to come. It's happened to President's Day. It's happened to Memorial Day. It's happened to Veterans Day. You name it. We will be right back with more on this holiday and what it really means and should mean, must mean, coming up on the MedVet Show.
I had pain in my hands that kept me from work and doing projects around the home. I heard about Relief Factor on the radio and began taking it, and it left me with pain-free hands again. I was able to do the things around the house that I enjoy doing. I'm so glad I found Relief Factor.
This is a dietary supplement. It is totally natural. I wouldn't be without it. I take it every day. It's gotten me through the hard days of winter and pandemic and more, and helps you feel better, whether it's aches and pains or Relief Factor can help. It's made from natural products, including turmeric and fish oil, that is all blended together in a proprietary blend that actually works for people around the world. It's a great product. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. Go to michaelmedved.com and just click on the banner for Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is, Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Michael Medved.
Here you go again.
And on the Michael Medved Show, broadcasting to you very proudly on this Juneteenth federal holiday. It's actually June 20th, and that's always a little confusing, but that's worth the convenience, isn't it, to give an extended weekend to people just as it's turning summer. It's certainly appreciated here. We are also celebrating the addition of the latest member of our family. Our daughter Shayna gave birth right at the beginning of this weekend, right just before the beginning of the Sabbath, so on Friday evening. And we have a wonderful new granddaughter who is a charmer already. And even though she's, what, 1, 2, 3 days old. And it's just miraculous to be going through that. And to feel, well, the thing about grandfatherhood and grandmotherhood is that you feel so proud, but it's not proud of this little baby who hasn't done anything yet except be come into existence and wah, and basically applauding her first poops and bodily functions and God willing, a lifetime of good health and productivity and happiness. But what you're proud of, and it really struck me, is I'm so proud of my daughter. I'm so proud of our great son-in-law. These are great people, and this little new life has won this golden ticket of being put together with just two wonderful parents who make me very, very emotional and proud. There are also reasons for pride and emotionality about Juneteenth. And a great piece by Robert Woodson, who is a veteran black conservative. He's founder and president of the Woodson Center and editor of Red, White, and Black, Rescuing American History from Revisionists and Race Hustlers. And yes, American history does need a little bit of rescue. But he writes, "We should remember that the resistance to slavery, which was ultimately successful, these heroic black figures from the past teach us that we all have the capacity to succeed even against extraordinary odds." And then he gives an example. Bridget Mason, later nicknamed Biddy, was born in 1818 as a slave to a Mississippi man named Robert Smith. After walking 1,800 miles to follow Smith to California, she successfully sued him for her freedom. As a free woman, Biddy worked as a midwife and a nurse, carefully saving all that she could. She used her savings to buy land in the rapidly growing city of Los Angeles. She eventually became the wealthiest and most influential black American west of the Mississippi. And she used her fortune to fund charities and serve the poor. The question for us is, what parts of the story do we want to know more about? Do we want to learn more about how poorly Robert Smith, her master, in quotes, treated Biddy? How her feet hurt when she was walking behind the wagon train? Or how her back ached while she set up and broke down the camp, all while caring for her own young children? Or do we want to know more about how in the world somebody born into slavery was able to sue successfully for her freedom? How was she able to save her modest earnings? How she decided which properties to buy and what kind of charity she chose to support and why? And then he says, this is the opposite of the 1619 Project. A group of scholars rebuked the 1619 Project, writes Woodson, expressing reservations about it and accompanying curricula. The 1619 Project defined all American history as the story of such men as Robert Smith, the slave owner, who was average at best, while such remarkable women as Biddy Mason, or men, can be understood only as Robert Smith's slave. Stories such as Biddy Mason's, taught with even reasonable competence, can inspire school children of all races and all backgrounds. Who wouldn't be inspired by somebody who, forbidden to learn to read or write, sponsored the construction of the first black church in Los Angeles, which has thousands of members to this day? Such heroes as Biddy Mason can give all of us, regardless of race, a framework for understanding our past and building our future together. They can give us the tools to reconcile with one another and discern justice in light of historical reality. When Americans discuss our shared past freely, coming independently to moral conclusions, we open the door to real and lasting progress. Young people in the next generation must learn that they are agents of their own uplift and that they do not need to wait for an external force to rescue them. If our children lack models of excellence and inspiring stories to which they can connect, then we have lost what education should be about. This is profoundly important. And it's very, very reassuring. The Charles Blow points out that in the Gallup poll, the percentage of people saying that Juneteenth should be taught in public schools rose from 49% last year to 63% this year. Well, of course it should be taught because it reflects the not the crime of slavery, but the miracle of deliverance from slavery. And something in which, yes, there were many people of every color, of every racial background, who participated and made that possible, including those 180,000 black troops who volunteered and took part in the war effort with the Union Army. Sure, many will squander the day, he says, so says Charles Blow. That happens with every federal holiday. Sadly, many people now see Memorial Day more as a time to cook out rather than to mourn. But the day, Juneteenth, also allows space to reflect and honor those who fell in battle. That he means Memorial Day. We must look at Juneteenth becoming a federal holiday in the same way, to focus attention, but also allow space. And we have all kinds of space allowed, and it's one of those things that I find encouraging, at least so far, about what we've heard about Juneteenth. As a celebration of basically what Americans can hold in common and can celebrate in common. Juan Williams, who will be joining us in a few moments, describes it as a surprising act of racial unity in divided times. What else can we do that can help us achieve some unity? It might be looking forward to the next election as not an opportunity just for chastisement of people we don't like politically, but as an opportunity to turn the country in a better direction. That's certainly would be very, very useful. And the recognition by some of the leading Democratic colleagues that there's something wrong with their party. Is there something wrong with a Republican Party when in Texas, Senator Cornyn, who is the senior senator from Texas, is a very popular politician, was overwhelmingly reelected recently, where he was just booed because he is participating in this extremely moderate and, it seems to me, very constructive gun reform that may or may not be dead in Congress. We will talk about that and what is really bound to happen. And we will also be speaking about threats of political violence. And no, not just on the right side, but on the right side too, on all sides. And some politicians who seem to be encouraging it. That and more with Juan Williams of Fox News and The Hill and a former Washington Post scribe and an author of What the Hell Do You Have to Lose? Juan Williams joins us coming up in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
Hi, everyone. This is Fred Dreyer for Balance7.com. Do you have acid indigestion? You can't eat the foods you like? Your stomach is upset all the time? Chronic pain a problem? Then do yourself a favor and go to Balance7.com. Start living again and get rid of chronic pain. Balance 7 has all the natural ingredients that work to rid your body of inflammation. I take it every day to keep my inflammation and acid indigestion in check. Remember, a sick body is an acid body. So, get rid of your acid indigestion and inflammation with Balance7.com. Call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. 800-793-9039 or go to balance7.com. That's balance, the number 7.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.